In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them,
"Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger."
Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying,
"Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests."
When the angels had left them and had gone up into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it was amazed at what the shepherd had said to them.
But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived.
Now I'm going to start with a question that might reveal your age. Okay? What is this? Anyone know what this is? Phoebe knows. Anyone else know? You reckon you know? It's a happy face. A happy face. Anyone know the proper name for what that happy face is? Go on, Daniel. Sorry? It's an emoji. Now, who's heard or used an emoji this week? Not you. Yeah, you're not really old enough to have phones yet. So, yeah, that's no bad thing. Now, that is an emoji. And there at the top, you can see what an emoji is. Because it's a bit of a weird word, isn't it? Emoji. Who thought of that? But an emoji is a picture describing an emotion. So when you send a text or send an email, you might put a little face or something at the end of your message, and it might reveal something, either of how you want the other people you're sending a message to feel, or how you feel yourself. An emoji. So what are these then? See if you can work these out. But with the person next to you, what are each of those trying to picture? What kind of emotion are they trying to communicate? Okay, you've got 5 seconds. Right. Here we go.
Sick. We're the one that's sick.
There is one that's sick. I think you're right. There is, I think this one here, this nearest one, might be telling us that we're sick. There was another one for sick that wasn't as pleasant. Any others? So if that one's sick, the one with the kind of thermometer coming out, what would that middle one be? Anyone know the middle one?
Down here.
No? Down here? Oh, you know.
It's when you do something and you don't do something right and you say, oh, no.
Yeah, great. So when you do something and you kind of don't do it in a way that you want, and you just go, dolt, like that. Or I often get this sent from my daughters. And it's when I've done something that reveals my age. And they're kind of embarrassed about kind of knowing me. And so they put their hand over their face. What about that last one? Just on the far side.
Sad.
Sad, yes. Crying, isn't it? But what about this one? This is a different one. What about this one? What do you reckon that one is?
I'm laughing.
Yeah, might be. Come on, Phoebes.
Crying
in happiness. There's one word that describes that emoji. One word. Anyone get it? It's meant to be, officially, I looked this up, joy. That is the emoji for joy. In fact, if you want to use the technical term, it's tears of joy. So there we go. So you've learned something new. You can try and use that in one of your messages today. Now, that emoji was the most used emoji in 2023. It's the most popular one, apparently. And it's that emoji that I want us to try and remember and use, because that emoji represents something that we're going to look at. Because we want to look at the joy of the angels this morning. The joy emoji of the angels. See, we know the story, don't we? 2,000 years ago, one angel, we had it acted out up here, one angel appears to a group of shepherds and they say these words, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born. He is the Messiah. He's the Lord." And that one angel, just as it was acted out before us, is then joined by a whole host, a whole company, we're told, thousands of other angels. And those other angels are plastered around the sky and they're singing in one voice to these shepherds. And they say this, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." You can see it up there in the far corner. It's a song of pure joy. The angels are joyful, but then we might ask, well, why? Why are these angels joyful? Why have they appeared? Well, joy is always based on something. Joy is always has to have a basis. You don't wake up in the morning and decide, I'm going to be joyful today. Your joy has to be based on something else, something you hear or something you know. And the angels, their joy is based on two things. Here's the first one. The angels' joy is based on knowing a promise-keeping God. Preschool, how good are you at keeping promises? Do you keep promises well? If someone tells you, I'm going to tell you something, but you're not allowed to tell anyone else, can you do that? Do you find that easy? Do you find it easy to keep a promise? No. I don't. It's really easy to give away promises, isn't it? Or not keep them, because maybe we feel we don't really want to keep them anymore. Maybe we made the promise in like a really good mood and now we're in a bad mood and we don't want to keep it anymore. Well, imagine keeping a promise that was made 600 years ago. That'd be impressive, wouldn't it? Well, in the book of Isaiah, we're told that God makes a promise. The book of Isaiah in the Old Testament was written 600 years before Jesus was born. And in Isaiah chapter 9, we read these. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." It's a promise 600 years before that a child is going to be born. But do you know that that promise even goes further back? Because there was a king called David in the Old Testament, king of Israel, the greatest king. And he was given a promise that he would have one son who would rule on the throne forever. And that promise was made 1,500 years ago. But you know that promise of a son, of someone being sent to earth, even goes back before that. Because in the third chapter of the Bible, the book of Genesis, we meet Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve do something terrible. They reject God. They sin against God. And they're punished by God. And as the serpent is punished, the one who tempts them, God makes this promise. One day a son will be born who will defeat you, who will crush your head. It's a promise that's made thousands of years before. And yet as the angels appear on this mountainside singing this song, they are full of joy because this baby means that those promises have been kept. God is the promise-keeping God. Glory to God, they sing. Why are they so willing to praise God? Because he keeps his promises. When God says something, it always happens. When God says something, he never changes his mind. When God says something, he's always faithful. And this baby that's born is a reminder of all of those things, that he is that. That he always remembers, he never forgets. But why is it so important for God to keep his promise? Why is it so important for this baby to be born? Why is it so important that every year we remember this promise? Well, the answer to that is wrapped up in two words that the angel uses to the shepherds: Savior and Messiah. See, the angels are joyful because they have a Savior, a Messiah, who has come to bring something. He's come to bring peace. That's the second thing we're going to learn this morning. Joy in a Savior who brings peace. Now, Messiah, if you don't know the meaning of those two words, Messiah means anointed one or chosen one, just like you would choose someone to come to your birthday party or something like that. You choose them, you anoint them, you give them that invitation. Savior means rescuer, someone who can help. And this baby born in a manger, is the chosen rescuer sent by God. And he's come to bring peace. Now, preschool, have any of you got younger brothers or sisters? Hello. You've got one. Is it a baby? Oh, you got that? I was next to you. And what's she like?
She likes.
Is she good?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's good. Is she peaceful?
I got.
Not really.
I got two sisters.
I know your two sisters. Neither of those are peaceful. Sorry, Phoebe. Sorry. Now, when you think of a baby, you don't tend to think of them being peaceful, do you? Babies are quite loud.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are. Babies often are quite smelly as well. You know that? They leave foul smells. I remember changing nappies and it was dreadful. Babies cause sleepless nights as well. Now, none of those things are peaceful. But this baby that comes is going to bring peace. How is that? Well, we don't know much about Jesus' early life, about what he was like as a baby. I'm sure he did all of those things. But the peace that Jesus is bringing is a peace that we know through his life and ultimately through his death. Through this baby's death, he will bring peace. See, the second line in that verse, just at the top, is quite an odd one, isn't it? On earth, peace to those on whom his favour rests. What does that mean? Why do I need God's favour? Well, those 10 words, and there are 10 if you count them, those 10 words in the second part of that verse are so, so important to understand. Because if we don't understand the meaning of those 10 words, actually Christmas just isn't as exciting. Christmas just isn't as important. Those 10 words are so, so important. Let me walk you through them very briefly. To be favoured is to be liked. It's to gain the approval of someone. Now everyone wants to be liked, don't they? You want to be liked, don't you, by your friends? You want to be liked by your brothers and sisters? You want to be liked by your mums and dads and your preschool teachers and your school teachers? You want them to like you. We all want our pictures that we post on social media. We want them to be liked, to be approved. We want to be popular at school, so we try and fit in with what other people do because we want to be liked. We might even, you might have done this, you might even buy someone a gift to buy their favour. Dads, you ever done that? Flowers, chocolates, a way of getting favour. But when it comes to God's, we can't do that. None of those things work when it comes to having a relationship with God. We can't gain his approval. Because each of us has sinful hearts. Each of us has something wrong in our hearts. We don't want to listen to God. We try to ignore him. We fill our lives with other things. And all of those things means that we are not at peace. In fact, the Bible says we're at war with God. We're his enemies. God is totally good and perfect, and he always keeps his promises. And often we're the opposite of those things. But, do you know the good news at Christmas? But peace with God is possible. How? Well, it's through trusting this baby. It's through putting your trust in the Lord Jesus that we're able to gain God's approval. That we're able to gain his favour, not through anything that we've done, but through what Jesus has done for us in dealing with our sin, in helping our relationship with God that was once broken to be fixed. Jesus does that when he dies on the cross. That's what it means when Jesus brings peace. It's a peace with God. This gift, this baby would one day lay down his life to rescue me and you. That's why the wise men, the kings, when they come up on stage, they give gifts. But when you look at those gifts, actually those gifts are more appropriate to a funeral than a birth. It's a pointer to what Jesus is going to come to do, what he's going to bring. Peace through his death. See, God wants to bestow his favour upon us. God wants to approve us. But the only way he can do that is if we are willing to lay down our pride. If we're willing to put our trust in the Lord Jesus and say, I confess my sins. I need help. I want to be at peace with you. Will you forgive me? That's how we gain God's favour, through the Lord Jesus. What does Christmas mean to you this week? If you were to describe or put an emoji to describe what you think of Christmas, what would you use? Would you use one of the ones that we've used before, a sad emoji? Maybe it does bring a sense of sadness. Would it make you sick because of all the food you're going to eat? Would it bring joy, tears of joy? That's what it should bring. Maybe Christmas is just like a season of the year. It comes and it goes and we wait for the next one. Maybe Christmas is just something you put up with. You enjoy the bank holidays and you enjoy a bit of food, but other than that, you can give it a miss. Well, can I encourage you this morning? Come and see, come and look at the same things the angels look at. Come and see the God who is a promise-keeping God. And come and look at Jesus, who is the Saviour, who offers us peace with God, both now and forevermore. And put your trust and your faith in him.